When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go, this is it. This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to Monday morning episode. My voice has gone a little bit, Sam. My voice has been croaky.
Is it? Why is that?
I don't know, maybe it's Omicron.
Omicron.
I hope it's not.
Well, we both had a bit of bad luck then, because guess what happened to me this morning on my morning run? Trudging dog shit, mate.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you had a fall.
No, could have done, because there was that much dog shit on my fucking running shoe. Just really? One, thank God.
Ugh.
That I thought I'm lucky to have not gone arse over titty.
Ugh.
But I didn't notice it at the time. I only noticed it when I got in the car. I thought, what the fuck is that? But obviously there's a nostalgic element to it, because
I was going to say it's very old school, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, you don't tread in dog shit so much anymore, whereas in the 80s, it was almost, well, twice a week minimum, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. It littered the pavements everywhere you went.
Because I mean, I had a dog in the 80s.
Some people used to let their dogs out on a morning and let them roam free.
Well, that's what I did.
I know. I'm referring to you.
Is that, we just used to let the dog roam
fucking
free. But
dog shit, Charlie.
Even if we were walking it, if the dog needed a shit, my 80s dog. Right, it was an 80s dog, so sometimes it would just, you'd be walking along and it would sort of look at you like, I need it, and it would start shitting, and you wouldn't even, you'd just think, oh, it's having a shit, and you'd just let it shit.
You'd carry on
your merry way.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum did used to say, if you see her wanting to do a shit or trying to do a shit, drag her into the road, right?
That's what we used to do with ours, yeah.
But it was horrible because, like, Bella was a very stupid dog, and I don't know if dogs were stupider in the 80s, quite possibly. Might have been something they were putting in the old pedigree chum back then.
Yeah, I think
lead.
So.
They put a lot of lead in it, didn't
lead
they?
Lead and chalk, mostly.
Lead and chalk is what they
5%
put in
meat.
Dog food in to pad it out in the 80s. So it sent them thick. And I'd go, oh, in the road. And she'd just look at me with her tongue hanging out, like, what the fuck are you on about in the road? Can't you see I'm a dog? Doing what dogs do, shitting, right? And so then I'd have to pull it. I'd have to pull her, you know, with the lead. And she wouldn't cotton on to what I was trying to do. So her sort of claws would come out. And people often forget that dogs do have claws, Andy.
They do, yeah.
They're often associated just with cats and bears, but dogs do have claws. It's just they don't show them very often. And so claws would come out. I can visualise it now. I can still hear it. The scrape. Because I'd pull and she'd just sort of try to, like, cling to the pavement. Like, as if she was, like, really passionate about wanting to shit on the pavement as opposed to in the road.
If someone
maybe it was a political thing.
If someone tried to wrap their arms around your neck, for example, and drag you off the pot while you were having a shit, how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
You'd resist, wouldn't you? Exactly.
I would, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah, quite.
Think about it that way.
Yeah, fucking stop bothering me. I'm trying to do shit. It's bad enough that I have to do it in public in front of you without you fucking pulling me around on the end of a chain.
Once again, Sam, on this podcast, I'm asking you to put yourself in the mind of the dog.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not bad-mouthing Bella because I love her. I loved her and I still do love her. She's very much in my heart. Even though she left us in 1994, but
yeah,
you know, I did used to try and pull her into the road. She resisted, and being a kid, I'd just think, "All right, fuck it, just shit there." But the idea that you would pick that shit up—I mean, I remember it was something like "That's Life" did it as a joke piece about the pooper scooper when that came out, and that was considered like a joke. People weren't sure whether it was a spoof news story, like the spaghetti growing on trees lark, right? You thought pooper scooper, yeah, right. People have got a little shovel, they fucking carry around to shovel up the dog shit with. Yeah, of course I have, mate. Whatever next, eh? What, the moon's made out of cheese and all, is it? Stroll on.
That is it. Dog shit bugs were not a thing in the 80s for the 80s weren't. Dogs.
We didn't have time for that. There was a minor strike on.
My dog, it was a black Labrador called Sam, and called Sam, named after you, obviously wasn't because I didn't know you then.
Interesting that you have found yourself in a working relationship with me in what I think it's fair to say the autumn of your life.
Is it?
And it's sort of like the world's full circle. Life goes full circle. You've had two idiots in your life, one that has bookended your life, both called Sam.
One in the spring, one in the autumn.
Yeah.
Could it be that I have subconsciously selected you to work with and recreate that working dog relationship?
Yeah, that's how I perceive it anyway. So I've always perceived it. Things are making more sense to me now.
I think, to be fair, the dog was more trainable than you are.
At least the dog remembered its regular meal times.
Yeah, oh yeah. But yeah, he would prefer to shit on grass, so he would only ever shit on the pavement if it was an emergency shit. So I was quite lucky in that respect. I mean, we all have emergency shits, don't we, now and again?
Oh yeah.
Don't we just?
Like the one I had in Pizza Express once.
That's my big fear wherever we're on tour. My big fear is the advent of the emergency shit mid-show.
No, not possible.
Well, it's never happened so far, has it?
But you'd have to do a lurking. Gary Lineker and pretend to slip over and then just drag yourself along on your bum on stage and hope that no one noticed.
Just behind the seats where the carrier bags and the props are.
I'd cover for you, mate. I'd say it was part of the act. I mean, I'd be able to tell what's going on because I'd be up close. I'd say it was all part of the act. It was a routine that we'd rehearsed.
Yeah. So,
because actually we do write things into our shows that appear to be errors, but we put in there for comic effect. Like, for instance, if you came to our show, and if you didn't, apologies, this will mean nothing to you.
I hope you're not going
to
reveal a secret here. It doesn't need to be revealed.
All right, I won't tell them what bits it was, but what I will say is that someone wrote a comment about our show, right? I'm not even going to give them the oxygen of publicity by saying where I read this, but get ready for this, Andy, and I hope you'll be behind me in my anger about this, but I'm a bit worried about how you're going to respond. Someone said that for the Manchester show, I, Sam Delaney, was woefully unprepared.
Really?
Woefully, Andy. Woefully. I was so badly prepared, right, that it filled someone with woe.
What the fuck?
Someone was sat in the audience watching me being unprepared, or so they thought I was unprepared. What I'm saying is that those bits are written in, dickhead, right? But the... when they saw what they thought was me being unprepared, rather than just think, oh, well, he's a bit unprepared, ha, ha, funny, or, what do I expect, the bloke's a cunt, right, which is the normal reaction, he sat there and his body and soul and his mind were consumed by woe. Woe, Andy. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Not as an Elvis, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, this is going real bad.
Whoa, mama.
Whoa, mama, this Delaney man, he ain't prepared sufficiently.
He ain't prepared. I resent that. King is prepared. When I went on the Ed Sullivan show,
I always prepared. I rehearsed. I went over the lyrics of my song, Hound Dog, again and again and again, even though I'd already sung it hundreds of times. Didn't mean I didn't rehearse. Failed to prepare. Prepare.
I rehearse for 9 hours a day, and I've heard that the professional darts players only practice for 8 hours a day, so that makes me better than them.
So I'm doing better than them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, woefully unprepared. You're woefully unprepared.
Oh, man. Well, where did that comment appear? I missed that.
Not fucking even telling you, mate. Don't desert. Right. The platform... No one involved in this sorry fucking episode deserves a mention. I mean, for God's sake. But what I'm trying to say is the bits where I went wrong were mainly scripted, although some of them were not. But I mean, fuck's sake. Well, it was only something like I forgot a prop and I had to go off stage to get it. Fuck's sake. Oh, sorry, am I wasting your time? Oh no. I'm sorry, but this would not happen in a West End show. I mean, this is a waste of time. He spent 10 seconds. That's dead stage time. And anyone who knows anything about the entertainment industry knows that that is unacceptable. Dead stage time is unacceptable.
You begin to lose the audience one by one, minute by minute as it drags on. Fucking hell.
I could have been doing anything tonight. Disney on Ice is a showing in Manchester this evening. I could have been at that. I bet none of them forgot their props.
Did you forget a prop in Manchester? I thought that was just in Birmingham and Newcastle.
Yeah, probably not. I forgot my sunglasses or something like that when we were being Roger Taylor.
Was it just you that said was woefully underprepared, not me?
Yes, if not, I wouldn't be mentioning it. If I didn't feel singled out and bullied, then it wouldn't have mattered. But it's like they go, no, they were like, Andy Dawson was, of course, thoroughly prepared to the letter.
The consummate professional.
Oh, he was sharp as a tack.
Fuck you, though. Oh, well.
So anyway, I can't remember how that came about, but obviously I resent it.
And I trod
in dog shit. So that's two bad things that have happened to poor old Sam this weekend. Although that comment appeared quite a while ago.
Do I need to ask you how you coped with the dog shit? What did you do? Did you throw the shoe away in the bin?
With great maturity. I don't mind admitting to you that in the past... See, me, I'm always looking at personal growth, aren't I? Progress, not perfection. That is my motto. And I like to... regularly I check in on myself to take stock of how I've moved forward as a human being, in a variety of different ways, mostly spiritually.
Yeah.
And I was really pleased with myself because I got in the car, I smelt this dog shit, I looked at it, and the particular running shoes that I have are like, they're called for trail running, so they're not those little lightweight ones, because I run a lot in the park and whatnot, so I have ones with a lot of grip on the sole, which from a dog shit perspective is a disaster, right?
Really?
Because
I thought they'd be equipped for dog shit or other animal shit if they're trail running shoes.
Well, you'd think so, but you know when there's like a huge amount of stuff going on the sole, all sorts of lumps and bumps and crevices and ridges. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you tread in a dog shit, it is disastrous. But what I did was I tackled it head on. And I'll admit to you, when I was in my early 30s, I had a pair of Nike Air Max that I quite liked. But I'd had them for a while and they were reaching a point at which I was thinking, at some stage, I will have to upgrade these, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, I trod in dog shit in them one morning. And I was furious, and the dog shit got really involved in the soul, dug in deep. It was a lot of shit. And I looked at it, and I thought, fuck this. They're getting upgraded anyway soon. This is just the sign. This is this God telling me to get down JD Sports. So I fucking chucked him in the bin, right?
Right.
Now, I'm not massively proud of that story, but that's something that I did, and I've said it.
Yeah.
Right, it's something I did. I'm not boasting. I think it's embarrassing to admit, but I was close to getting a new pair anyway. So in the bin they went because I couldn't be bothered cleaning the shit off. This morning, I saw the shit and I acted fast. I jumped out of the car because luckily I hadn't started driving by the time I identified it. And lucky for me, the park was covered in quite a stiff frost, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just got on the grass and I started sort of moonwalking about on it, which there was a few dog walkers giving me funny looks.
Shit removal moonwalk.
Yeah, I was doing a shit removal moonwalk, but it was perfect conditions for shit removal, Andy, right? Because the grass was quite long, but it had a stiff frost, the sort of frost that even when you rub a shoe on it quite hard, it doesn't completely come off the grass.
Yeah.
So it's really good for cleaning off the excess of the shit. Couldn't get it all off from the ridges. I got home and I thought, well, I can either leave these out in the garden so it's not to smell the house and then probably forget about them. They'll get rained on and I'll just start using another old pair of running shoes and just forget about these fuckers. Mm. Or I can just deal with it now.
Tricky.
Deal with it now.
It's tricky.
I put them in the garden. I found a sponge. What do you call a sponge with a scourer on the top of it?
It's a classic sponge with a scourer on the top.
Yeah. So one of them.
A scour sponge.
We had a fresh pack of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got one of them out. I put some gloves on. I went to the outdoor tap that's in the garden. And I also, for good measure, squirted some fairy liquid on the sole of the shoe. And I just fucking, I thought, act now, think later. I held my breath and I scrubbed the fuck out of the sole, ran it under the tap. Yeah. And then I put them, and then once they were thoroughly clean, I put them under the radiator. And I thought, bang, it's done. When you have a problem, rather than think about it, dwell upon it, let it hang around your neck like an albatross for days afterwards, deal with it. And I dealt with the shit.
That's a life lesson.
I threw away the scourer straight in the bin.
Exactly.
I put the gloves in the washing machine and everything's going to be fine. And the progress between 32-year-old me who threw a pair of Nike Air Max away and 46-year-old me who's just scrubbed the shit off and has just moved on with life.
To me, that's
something, you know, there is only you have to praise yourself for some things, and the way in which I tackle shit is something that I'm feeling good about today.
Exactly. It feels like a parable, almost. Is that the right word? Or an allegory? Mm. One of them. It might be both. I'm not sure, but it feels like that. It's there's metaphors galore in there.
Well, you know, I read a oh, and then when I got home, I had a thing from the DVLA, and they've said, they've given me a conditional offer, mate. They've said, it's 6 points and a grand.
DVLA
unless
University.
You fucking accept this offer now, and you have 3 points and a oneer. So I was like, yeah, I'll have 3 points and a oneer, obviously.
Fucking hell.
So I was quite pleased about that, and I'm sending that straight off. I read once in Chris Evans's book, right? I'm not a huge Chris Evans fan, but I did read his first autobiography. I think it was for a work thing. I was reviewing it. It was years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And I actually did find it quite entertaining and interesting. I think he did a two-part autobiography about 12 years ago.
Right.
And in it, he talked quite a lot about dealing with tough times in his life. So it wasn't just one of these, and then I was very famous on telly and I had all this money. I mean, there are bits like that in it and they are sensational, right? They are really sensational because, you know, Chris Evans, whether you like him or not, he's just from very kind of working class background, and is the way in which his life sort of turned very, very quickly, completely the opposite of what it had been.
Yeah, but you could also say that about Peter Sutcliffe.
Yeah, I know that, yeah, but
Chris Evans didn't kill anyone. Well, not as far as we know.
Okay,
the working
well,
class background thing almost feels like a cliche, do you know what I mean?
What I'm saying is that he went from... No, it's not. There's a point to it in as much as he had not very much at all, and then there was... It wasn't like a gradual climb. It was like suddenly, very quickly, he had more money than he knew what to do with, and that sent him mad. And I do think there's something interesting in that. So I do think that the working class, not romanticising being working class as if that is an inherently good thing. I'm more fascinated by the transition in anyone's life from being in one predicament to a very juxtaposed predicament overnight with no slow build, right?
Yeah,
so it's
just like,
fuck, what do I do here? Do you know what I mean?
Similarly, if Chris Evans had made perhaps one different life decision at one point in his life, he could have also become a serial killer.
Maybe,
but it's like sliding doors, isn't it?
No, Forks, but I know what you mean. I'm not saying, oh, he's from working class background, therefore you should like him. No, not in the least. Fucking hell, some of the worst people I know and had any dealings with are from that kind of background. But no, the point is that it was so fascinating the way in which he kind of... It just came from nowhere. He was literally a mobile disco guy sort of thing. And then got a radio show, and then almost overnight, he was just like, everyone was throwing money at him.
Yeah.
Anyway, much less interesting, one of the least interesting things in his book, which is what I've been building up to, is that he claims that he has a policy, because he writes these lists of ways in which to deal with adversity in tough times in his life, right?
Right.
One of the things he claims now is, right, is that he never touches a piece of he never touches a piece of paper more than once.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
About anyone?
So the idea is this, Andy. What's the reasoning behind that then?
The idea is this, right? You get a bill in the post, right? Or a letter or whatever the fuck it is. I mean, anything in the post these days is going to be designed to annoy you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you get it, you open it, and in the same movement, you deal with it.
Okay.
So what you don't do is you don't have a... I mean, I know you're the logistical king of England and you're going to tell us that you have some. Well, I've got something where I don't even touch a piece of paper once. I've gone one better. But to normal mortals in the in the world of logistics, this is a big thing, because it's like most of us, you know, you go, oh, fucking hell, I'm busy. I'm on my way in. I've got some other shit on my mind. What's this? Oh, I'll quickly tear that open. Oh, fuck. I'll leave that there. I'll deal with that later in the week, right? And then it's just, and it's a little fucking irritant in the back of your mind, whispering at you, annoying you, little, almost imperceptible source of stress. And Chris Evans is like, because of that, you just have to eradicate each thing as it goes along. So as it happens, you deal with
deal
it.
With
as it,
it
happens,
swat
you
it
deal
away.
With it.
Yeah.
And so with paperwork, I'm getting there. But what my thing is, I only now touch dog shit once.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
It doesn't linger. It's straight under the tap.
I trod in the dog shit. I clean the dog shit.
All the shoes
Bang,
are in the bin.
Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that Chris Evans thing, I mean, that's nice, but that comes from a position of privilege. That comes from someone who's got the ability to be able to deal with a bill when it lands on the doormat. Because, I mean, I've had times when there were bills coming through for credit cards every month I couldn't fucking afford, and I just fucking put them away. Didn't even open them sometimes.
Wow.
I remember there was one time when I had HMRC knock on the front door asking for
fucking
a sum of money that I didn't have. Yeah.
What did you say?
I haven't got it.
What did they
say? So we worked out a payment plan that I wasn't able to stick to anyway.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jalapeño.
I had an accountant once who told me this. He's an old school accountant.
Mm.
And he said, if HMRC knock on your door, if they ever go to the extent of knocking on your door, he goes, if you know it's them, he goes, and you can usually tell because they'll have a badge on that says tax man or something like that.
A peaked
what you,
cap.
What you have to do. You have to do it, because if not, it'll drag on forever. Is you open the fucking door and you just fucking spark them out. Bang! Knock them out. Right? He goes, because then He went, if you show them you're not fucking around, he went, don't give them any verbals or any warning. He goes, open the door. And before they've even had a chance to open their gob, fucking bangs. Bang. Right? He said, if you've got a stone island lying around the house or anything like that, even a fake one, he goes, stick that on first.
Stick that on first as a warning.
Stick your, yeah. Get your stony on. Go, yeah. Hey, whoever else in the house, fuck. The taxman's at the door. Where's Miss Stony? Is it in the wash? Right, then you get it on. You open the door, bang, you knock the cunt out. And then you just close the door. And yeah. He said, trust me, you'll never hear from those cunts again.
Because they're on your property, so therefore you're entitled to spark them out.
You're allowed
it's
to.
It's the law. Yeah.
It's British law. You can spark pretty anyone sure. Who's turned up on your doorstep unexpected.
Not 100% sure, but pretty sure. It's just variation on the old adage of first day in a new job or first day in prison. Punch the biggest lad. Put down a marker.
Exactly. So, you've got to show HMRC that you mean business. Because mainly, they're just relying on you being scared. But if you start fucking acting like that, they're going to go, whoa, best lay off this cunt. Leave it. We'll write his debt off.
HMRC is like, it's like getting a new dog. You have to dominate from the off in the
exactly.
relationship. Otherwise, they'll just shit in your fucking living room.
Yeah, and I have had tax men do that to me as well.
Shit in your living room, yeah.
Yeah, they try all sorts of scare tactics, don't they?
Never let them over the threshold. Never let them over the threshold.
Well, it's like vampires. If you invite them in, then they can do what they want.
Yeah. Take your telly.
They take your telly. They shit on your fucking hearth rug.
I didn't let this one in that was knocking on my door. I says, no, I'll do this on the doorstep.
Yeah,
come
right.
on. People might be watching. Your neighbours might be watching. Let's do this indoors. I went, no, let's just do it here.
That is a good power play. Because you go, mate, do you think that I give a fuck? Like that scene in Succession where someone, I can't remember who, goes to Shiv. Oh, Shiv. Goes, listen, if this gets out, they're sort of bargaining with each other. I can't remember what the situation is. And someone sort of threatens her by going, we could go to the press with this. It'd be pretty embarrassing for a company like yours to be caught in a scandal like this. And she just smiles and said, you should realise this about us. We don't get embarrassed. And he just like totally power played. That's a line that I use quite a lot on my daughter. Like, she's always like, don't do that. It's embarrassing. And I just go, listen, I don't get embarrassed about anything. So...
Yeah, that's a nice position.
And that's like a threat to people, isn't it?
It's good because it's something that comes with age and confidence and experience and that ability to not give a fuck what anybody thinks about you.
It's like a superpower.
Oh, it's like a shield, isn't it? It's like when you see older people who are like genuinely eccentric in the way they dress and appear.
Yeah,
and you just
I love them.
They give no fucks.
But that's why I always like to cause scenes in public. I mean, not always, but I'm happy to if someone starts kicking up a fuss. Because I always say to my kids,
as you recently did in Manchester,
yeah, exactly. Same thing. I go, people depend on the fact that you're going to be very British and not say anything when they basically try to have the piss. And if you reveal to them that you're all too happy to be the centre of a fucking scene in public, then... That the fucking, you know, it raises the stakes.
Yeah.
Although my kids now, because I told them about the Manchester incident where I told the bloke to call the police and they went, oh, not that again. I said, what do you mean?
Again.
And they said, that's your catchphrase, call the police. And I said, no, it's not. And then they reminded me of two other recent incidents where I had instructed people I was in an argument with to call the police on me. And they said, it's a really strange thing to be going around demanding that people call the police on you. And I said, well, raises the stakes, doesn't it?
But the thing is, though, is it like, was it not the case that they suggested the police come first?
Yeah, they said it, but well, then they didn't realise that I was going to really,
it's a reverse power play, isn't it? It's your trump card. It's like, go on then.
Call the police. Well, it was like the other two times, was the crazy golf, which was earlier this year.
Yes.
I told the woman to call the police on me because I'd walked off with the crazy golf things. Then come back to pay for them.
Yeah, you did.
Which I didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you shouldn't have taken them away. I said, well, you weren't here. But I've been honest and come back. And
she could have
I'm paying you.
You could have got away with that. She would have no knowledge you'd even been
she'd
there.
She'd have no knowledge. No one would. And actually,
perfect
it was
crime.
A victim. It was a victimless crime too, Andy.
And a perfect crime, yeah.
You know, big crazy golf, as if they're going to fucking notice. You know, there's one. There's probably one guy, Sir John Crazy Golf, who owns every crazy golf course across the whole of the UK, right? Or maybe there's two families and they war with each other over territory. I don't know. But what I'm saying is there's people fucking creaming a lot of fucking profit off of the crazy golf schemes.
Yeah.
You know, at that racket. And one fucking stolen round is not going to fucking be noticed by any cunt. You know, so I could have got away with it, but I'm a man of principle. So I went back and paid. And she said, well, you've already committed a crime by doing it in the first place. So I'll call the police then.
What was the other one? You said there was a third one.
There was an incident where I can't remember if I told you this one. I'm pretty sure I did because I was parking and I bumped another guy's car who was parked in front of me, a parked vehicle in front of me, and I bumped it and the kids were in the car with me.
Mm.
And the guy, you know, it happens sometimes. It's been done. Anyone has had it done to them and had done it against people. It's a little bump, Andy. Bump. Do you know what I mean? Bumper to bumper. Bump. Like
why
that. Bump.
Are bumpers called bumpers?
Fucking exactly right.
Exactly.
And it's just a little bump. That's what they're there for. It's fun. If anything, it's fun. People pay to go on bumper cars, Andy.
It should be encouraged. Yeah, bump, bump.
It's fucking, I mean, life can be dull and routine. And so if someone comes and bumps you with their car, you should be thanking them.
Lots of cars now have got those rear parking sensors where you can tell when you're about to bump someone.
Yeah.
So you can use that to your advantage and make the bump as small as it can possibly be.
Exactly.
And just do it for fun. Just have a fun bump.
It's like a little, it's a little bit of a Lindsay, a bit of frisson, isn't it? So fucking, I've been bumped.
Brightens the day up, doesn't it?
But this guy got out and he went, what the hell are you doing? Like I'd fucking thrown a fucking pint glass full of shit at him or something, right? And I went, what?
Bump, bump.
I said, I bumped you. It's me, Bumping Bobby. Bumping Bobby of Barnes, right? Just a little bump, bump, mate. And he went, don't do that or something. I went, all right, calm down. Don't talk to me like that, right? So then he got back in the car. And it was like I'd done it as a wind up, but I swear I hadn't. I had to complete the parking manoeuvre. So I went to straighten the car and I did a little bump just as he got back in. So then it did look like I was winding him up, but I wasn't. And this second time he went mad, right? And I said sorry quite a few times. And then I got out of the car and he went, this is outrageous. And I said, where do you want to go with this? And he went, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you're shouting at me. You're shouting abuse. You're upsetting my kids. The kids weren't upset. They were laughing. Yeah, right?
Of course.
And I said, you want to escalate it, but where's it going to go, realistically? And then I just went, and he carried on shouting. I said, I think you should call the police. And he said, what? And I said, well, you obviously think that I'm doing something out of order. And if you want to escalate it any further, you're not getting anywhere just by shouting at me in the street. Call the police and let's see what they make of all this.
Yeah, yeah. Call the police.
But you know there was a power play on me that day because I was like, in the end, I did lose my temper. And I said, if you carry on shouting at me, I'm going to knock you out, right? Which was quite a bold claim.
Yeah.
But I always think you might as well go in hard with a threat. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then he started saying, he's threatening to attack me. And I was like, yes, I am. Don't fucking shout it as if it's a secret. I just did it in public, right? You're not fucking exposing anything here. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is kind of going all right, but obviously I hope I don't have to knock him out. This situation could be going worse. It could be going better. But it is what it is.
Bad.
I bumped the cunt twice. Something was bound to happen here, and this is it, right?
This is where we are.
That's just what you have to think. Something you just have to think. You have to sort of step back from it and sort of think this is an entertaining situation that I'll look back on.
Yeah.
And or basically nowadays, I was thinking this is content. And
yeah, of course.
Suddenly a woman. His handler, I call her, because I couldn't work out whether she was a sister or a wife or what. And she came and she started going mental at him, not at me. Mm. And I thought, this is peculiar. Why is she going mental at him? And it became apparent that have I missed something here? Is he like maybe a bit mentally ill or something like that? Maybe because there is a massive overreaction.
Underlying
to
issue
the
that
bump.
Needs to be considered.
To the bumper bump.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is when it gets pretty bleak, mate, because I'm thinking, maybe if he's got an issue and maybe I, I've overreacted here or something, but she came over to me. She went, I'm sorry about this, but he's just had a really bad health diagnosis. And I went, what? And she went, yeah, it's really bad.
Shit.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but I was like, oh no. She went, so he's being a bit volatile. I said, I only bumped him. I said, I was really apologetic, but he wouldn't stop shouting. He's shouting across the kids. He wouldn't stop. So in the end, I had to sort of threaten him to make him shut up. And she went, well, look, he's had some really bad news. And then I looked at him and he was back in the car, but she was shouting. I'm like, get back in the car now. And I was thinking, what she's trying to say? She didn't say the word cancer.
It's cancer, thought, right, wasn't it?
This bloke's had a fucking cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
He's got the raging ump about it. I fucking bumped him, not once, but twice. Mm. And he's thought, fuck it, I've got nothing to lose now. I mean, it might have been a terminal diagnosis. So he might have thought, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm going to go mad like Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Yeah.
And I had said, I'll knock you out. Imagine if I had fucking punched him and then he just died.
Yeah, on the spot.
If someone's got bad cancer, you can kill them with a punch, can't you?
You can, yeah. I think that's how they do it in Switzerland if you go over there for the euthanasia thing. They'll just spark you dead. See, it's easier and cheaper than using the chemicals and everything. They'll just spark you out.
What budget are you working
to? No one really knows.
Well, we haven't got much money, to be honest, because since I got the cancer diagnosis, obviously I went on a spending spree. I mean, what else was I supposed to do? I've had a fair few slap-up lunches.
Bought myself a fur coat.
I bought a fur coat and a Cadillac. And I've been out to casinos, fancy hotels, the lot. So I'm a bit skint, but I do want to be euthanized.
Really want to die right now.
Well, we have two packages. We've got the gold package where we use a cocktail of fancy chemicals. That one's dead expensive. But for someone looking at a more economical approach, you can pay for our standard package where we just get a big Swiss lad.
Take you around the back. The car park.
And he will spark you. He'll spark you dead.
Yeah.
We hope we a couple of lads hold you so you can't run or duck. Right. Yeah. And he will just, what sort of cancer is it? Is it in the face or head area? Yeah, I've got cancer of the nose. Well, that's perfect. Because one big punch and you're out of the game, permanent.
Is there a possibility that the punch could actually cure it rather than kill me? Oh, we don't know, maybe. But there's only one way to find out, isn't there? Either way, it's a win.
It punched you that hard, the cancer goes full circle, mate.
Either way, it's a win for you, isn't it? You're either dead or we knock the cancer out completely. So
That's our slogan on our clinic's front door. It says, dead or better. Either way, you're getting your money's worth.
Dead, because it's the cheaper version. We'll then just put you in the wood chipper that we've got around the back. And that's that.
Good. Good, I'm glad. I don't want a funeral anyway.
There will be no funeral. Yeah,
punched to death by a Swissman.
So what a dear cancer diagnosis and a double bump from Sam Delaney.
Sam Delaney.
Fucking hell.
I told this story before, I think. But yeah, so the kids are like, you've got to stop telling people to call the police on you. It's a fucking stupid thing to be doing. One of these days, someone will call the police on you and then you'll be sorry.
Well, you probably won't be, though, because they're all threatening the police with really trivial stuff. So
I know. I mean, obviously, I'm not. I said to them, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to tell them to call the police when I actually do think I'm guilty of a serious crime. That's the old fucking scam I've got going.
I'm not a lawyer, but I'm also not an idiot either.
Yeah. I'm not going to, like, rob a bank and then say, oh, just quickly, talking of bank robberies and such like, real quick, a film recommendation. It's an old classic and lots of people have seen it, but it's on my list of classics I've never seen.
Right.
And it's the film Villain from 1970.
Ah, yes. Brilliant film.
What? Last night, I had some time to myself. I think my Len had gone to bed and the girls were downstairs watching something I wasn't interested in. So I thought, fuck it, I'll watch Villain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm three quarters of the way through. I rented it off Apple TV. Unfortunately, I could only find it on Apple TV.
Right.
So if you haven't got... So, because I think it would be a superb deep dive.
Oh, it's very diveable, yeah.
It's very diveable because although it's legitimately very good, there are fascinating... I mean, it's got huge... connections in so many ways, I feel, to Yesterday's Hero. Although it's about 10 years before or 9 years before Yesterday's Hero. Obviously, it does have McShane in it, a younger McShane. But McShane's character is very much how you imagine Rod Turner to have been 9 years previously.
Yeah.
It's like Rod Turner in his prime.
Yeah.
But he's got very much a Rod Turner sort of attitude to life. Like, there's a bit where he takes his own girlfriend to a party at a country house, right? And she goes, oh, what are we going there for? He goes, oh, it's just some mates. They're nice mates. It's at a country house. It'll be a laugh. So she goes, oh, all right, I'll come. But she doesn't really want to go. He gets there and he introduces her to a disgusting MP, right? Mm. Played by the one and only Donald Sinden.
Yes.
Right? And he's like, and what have we here? He's... McShane's name is Wolf. Oh, Wolf. Oh, what gorgeous creature have you brought me out in there, Wolf? Like, really disgusting, horrible, disgusting, sleazy MP. Who regrettably, could still exist to this day. You wouldn't have to change it at all if you were setting this film in the current day.
Yeah.
And fucking Rod Turner, Ian McShane, Wolf, he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is Janice or whatever her name is. He goes, yeah, oh, this is so-and-so, the Right Honourable so-and-so. He goes, here, anyway. And by the way, they've driven right out of London into, like, the Surrey countryside. He just all of a sudden goes, anyway, Janice, I've got to shoot off. And she goes, what? They've just got there, right? And she goes, what? And he goes, I've got to shoot off. I've just remembered I've got a bit of business back in London to attend to. And she goes... well, I'll come with you. He goes, no, I've got to do it on my own. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your car. And she goes, what? And he goes, don't worry. You can stay the night here. He'll look after you. Pointing to the creepy Amin. He goes, well, Jesus. Janice, it would be my absolute pleasure to escort you for the rest of the weekend. And she goes, you absolute sod, Wolf. And he just like goes, ta-da, and sort of waltzes out in a Teddy Sheringham sun, gets in her sports car and fucks off.
Yeah.
It's like so Rod Turner. But by the way, he's not even the main character. Richard Burton is playing Villain.
Richard Burton.
Who is astonishingly good. But there's also... Joss Ackland's in it, and there is also a running egg theme to the whole film. I don't know if you remember that, but Joss Ackland is an idiot villain, right, who Richard Burton is really mean to, and he's called Edgar, and he has a stomach ulcer, and he is constantly eating eggs because he claims that his doctor has told him that he needs to eat every 2 hours on the 2 hour to soothe his stomach ulcer. And so he carries around hard-boiled eggs with him, so he's got a snack, even if he's on the road doing some crimes. It's so funny. What
do you
a
know
film. It's extremely diveable. If we can find it anywhere for free, because I don't suppose it's fair doing it if it's only available on Apple TV.
Yeah, but... I'm looking at it's on YouTube, but it's only to buy or subscribe or rent or whatever. You've got to fork out for it. But it's brilliant. Do you know who wrote it?
Yes, it's Clement and Lafrenier, isn't it?
Clement Lafrenier, yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah, brilliant film.
It is absolutely great. And it's like, it was the same era, almost the same year, I think, as Get Carter. And there's a lot of similarities with Get Carter, especially obviously the setting and the styling is just wonderful. The cars and all the rest of it.
It crops up on Talking Pictures, the channel that sometimes shows Yesterday's Hero.
Oh, okay.
It crops up on there now and again. So, maybe we'll look into it at some point. Because there's a lot
great
going
bit
on.
When Richard Burton first meets up with Edgar, the one played by Joss Ackland. It's a young Joss Ackland, so it's funny because you think of him obviously in Lethal Weapon 2, going diplomatic immunity when evoked. But this is him when he's young. He plays a right dope. He basically looks and behaves a bit like Bernard Breslau in the Carry On films because he's sort of like a big ape and he's really dumb. Right, and he's like, oh, what about the girl, Sid? Like that. and he's like, and he meets them at a posh restaurant, his favourite posh restaurant. It's called like a luxury restaurant in a casino. And he meets his mate, this other top villain, and the mate brings along Joss Ackland with him. And you tell Richard Burton's really fucked off. He's like, who's this cunt you've brought, right? And so he looks at the menu, and Joss Ackland goes, he said, and the waiter's like French, and he goes, what did you like, sir? And he goes, oh, he looks at me and he goes, I'll just have a couple of poached eggs. And Richard Burton's character is so disgusted. He goes, you what? And he goes, just a couple of poached eggs. He goes, poached eggs? Poached eggs? This is one of the best French menus in the whole of London. You can't order poached eggs here. I've got a stomach ulcer and the doctor says it's good for them. And he's just like, you think he's going to fucking rip his head off for ordering two poached eggs? It was at that moment I thought, diveable? Question mark?
Very much so, yeah. You can rent it on YouTube for £3.49 or buy it for £7.99. I'd definitely recommend you watch it, though. It's so good.
Yeah, really, really good.
Villain. Right, that's it. Prediction update. Not much went on. You got 2 points. I got 3 points. Results book got 3 points. Burnley Spurs was one of the games we predicted. That was postponed, so that null and void. So now you're on 50. I'm on 49. Results book's on 39. Yeah.
Really close. And I'd just like to say that you didn't dwell on the predictions last week, but you... In Watford, Manchester United, I think I'd predicted a United win. And you had said, without hesitation, because I remember it clearly, I think you predicted 3-1 to, or 3-0 even, to Watford.
And I said 2-1 to Watford. 2-1,
no,
yeah.
You said more. I'm sure you said more.
No, I got 2-1. I've got it written down here in front of me. I said 2-1.
Because when it came in, I just remember that. I know it's like ancient history now. But when that result came in, I remember thinking, fucking hell, I'm pretty sure Andy... predicted that Watford would thrash Man U. But anyway, I was wrong, so forget the whole thing I just said. But at least you predicted a Watford win.
At least I was in your head for a little while, and it's just those little victories that count and add up in the end, hopefully. Right, that's it from this one. We'll be back, obviously, throughout the week with lots of brand new Iron Filing Society content. Subscribe or perish. Thank you. Goodbye.
All the best.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.